Welcome to the Self-Care Society podcast with your hosts, Celia Williamson, Ashley Kuchar, Louis Guardiola, and Carrie Shaw, a podcast devoted to those whose job it is to help others get or remain mentally, physically, and emotionally healthy, but who also need to take care of themselves.
How we're going to do this? By first showing you the filtered, pretty version of success, and then the real struggles, real work, and raw grit it took to get there, how they took care of themselves and also achieved their goals while doing it.
Together, we will work with you to improve and maintain your internal health and growth while helping you achieve your external goals and your next professional achievement in life.
And we're excited to show you how to follow your own individual and unique path and achieve the dreams you have while taking good care of yourself. So let's get started. Welcome to the Self-Care Society podcast. I'm Carrie Shaw, and my guest today is Shanice Melvin. Before we get started, I want to share that I invited Shanice to be a guest because I have been so impressed by her commitment to self-care and to doing the work and to her routine. So we're going to learn more about that today, and I can't wait to hear what she has to share. Shanice attended the University of Toledo in 2014 and graduated with her BA cum laude in communication and a minor in marketing in 2018. She is a certified community health worker for an organization called Celebrate One. She's been in her role for about 1 year now. Shanice has earned several certifications this year, including motivational interviewing, newborn care specialist, certified diversity lactation instructor, mental health first aider, certified community health worker, and trauma-informed care. She plans to further her education by earning her master's in social work starting in fall 2024. Shanice, welcome to the Self-Care Podcast.
Hi. Hello. I'm so excited to be here.
We're so excited to have you, Shanice.
Yes, thank you.
So we like to start out by hearing a little bit about who the real Shanice is. And that question is really geared towards how other people see you kind of on the outside. So what can you tell us about who Shanice is?
So that's a very great question because I'm still trying to figure out who Shanice is these days. But just to kind of give a background, I'm from Dayton, Ohio, and I grew up in a small town, and I moved to Columbus in April 2021 after I had my son. I had my son in February, so he was only a couple months old, and me and my child's father, we all moved up here in Columbus, and since then, I have learned so much just being able to move from a small town to a bigger city. And it really has just opened my eyes, like in a different perspective, just to see what's out here. When I first came out here, I was very scared. I honestly didn't have much planning time. I just woke up one day and I was like, I think I want to move. that's what I did. It was in 2020. Beginning of 2020 is when I said I wanted to actually move. And then I had visited Columbus maybe a couple times that year just to kind of see, you know, the area. And the east side is where I had decided to move to. It was just very close to a lot of things. So that was the area we chose. And since then, I've just been able to really grow in the city. And I'm still on the east side. I'm actually in Reynoldsburg right now. But I was living in these apartments when we first came up here. And then I had finally moved out of there about, let's see, that was in 2022, last year. Yeah, I'm sorry. The time, the years, it's just everything.
Oh, no. We're in a time warp after COVID, I think.
Yeah. So I had moved into Reynoldsburg, and I had became community health worker last year in October 3rd, with Celebrate One. And with Celebrate One, we provide resources for pregnant moms and moms with children under 1 year old. And we get them connected to diapers, wipes, pack and plays, car seats, or we can refer them to PIG or help them apply for SNAP, EBT, Medicaid. So we do a lot of wide range of things. And I've been in this role for a year now, and I was a certified community health worker in September. That's when I became certified.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. So since then, I have just been able to really get into self-care, I would say, the right way. I feel like for a while, I really wasn't doing self-care the right way, the way that I perceive it now. Back then, I used to think, oh, I have to go spend money, or I have to do all these fancy things. And like getting older and really realizing the true purpose of self-care is what really struck to me, especially becoming a community health worker, because not gonna lie, it's not easy work, but it's very fulfilling. I would say it's very fulfilling. So I have to make sure that I'm taking care of myself before I can even take care of others. And I use that in my personal life as well. I can't pour from an empty cup. So I think joining this group, the Self-Care Society group, has really helped me along the way as well. Without this group, I don't think I would be able to be here now speaking, because it just really had impacted me so much in my personal life and my work life. So I just want to just thank you guys so much for this group. Like it has truly just made such a huge difference in my life.
That's awesome, Shanice. I would love to hear, well, let's talk first about what your routine is. What are you doing in this kind of new routine of self-care for yourself that isn't based on buying things or spending money?
So now what I do, I had to find like my hobbies, like what I really enjoy. I had actually, me and my child's father, we had separated back in March of this year. So that separation kind of impacted me a lot. We were together for almost 4 years. So going through that wasn't really easy. So I knew that, you know, I didn't want to sit around and be sad or, you know, mad or anything. So what I decided to do was find some hobbies. I had to really sit down and find hobbies and take less time off social media, because social media can be very influencing, especially during like a breakup. It's really not the best time to be on social media. So I had to really focus on other things that wouldn't make me sad or anything. So I picked up reading books. I already did like to read books, but I actually enjoy reading books now. Like it's really peaceful to me. It brings me joy to be able to find a good book to just read. And it's just words of affirmations. That's my love language. I'm a words of affirmation type of girl. So reading books has helped me along my journey. And also doing yoga. I love doing yoga. I love working out. I definitely became more engaged with my body because I felt before I had my kids, I was pretty lazy. I didn't really exercise. I didn't really move around. But then again, I was young at that time. I feel like now I'm finally in my adulthood where I feel like we need to exercise at this age. So that was also something that really helped me. And it's still helping me to this day. And one thing that I like to mention to people is to do the things you love more often. So
I love that.
Doing it one time, just try to be consistent. You have to like train your brain to be consistent. And I once I heard that quote, it really stuck to me because that's when I feel like I started to do the things I love to do more often instead of just every now and then or just, oh, whenever I feel like it. No, do it more often. And that's really the true meaning of self-care right there, doing the things you love to do more often. And it doesn't necessarily mean having to go buy, you know, anything. It can just be something as simple as running a bath water, lighting some candles, or because I love smells. So that's also something that I love to do. I'm a candle maker. I make candles.
That.
Yeah. So I love to make candles. It's very therapeutic for me. So anything that brings me joy, I'm going to do it more often. And that's really my motto throughout life now, because life is very short. And we don't know when it's our time. So I really just love to be able to do the things in a routine that works for me. I had to stop telling myself I don't have time, because we all have the same 24 hours. I'm going to make time for the things I want to do. So that's also my motto. Like, I'm going to make sure I make the time. It's not that I don't have the time, because I do. And so we all do. So that's really my message. Do the things you love to do more often.
Shanice, that's great. I mean, it sounds like you've got some really good practices. I remember when I first heard you talking about affirmations. And, you know, I'm a counselor. And so I oftentimes talk about affirmations with my clients. But I think that it's something that people don't realize how powerful they can be. And so I just wonder if you could say a little bit about like how you use affirmations, because I think it's one of those things that we talk about, but we don't always do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for me, I love to journal. I like to go on Pinterest and find quotes and put them in my phone. That's something that I do every day.
And every day.
I do it every day. Like, I'm finding quotes every day. You should see my notes. It's full of quotes, and because I like to go back and reflect and to really just, you know, see, oh, dang, like if I'm having a bad day, oh, I can go to my notes and go through my quotes. And something like that will make my day. So being able to have that insight is very helpful. And I also, what I do, I get like sticky notes, write down affirmations and put them on my mirror. I have quite a few mirrors in my house. So I stick those on my mirror, and every morning I'm just saying those affirmations out loud every day. Every morning I'm in the mirror and I am saying those affirmations. I don't know if it's some voodoo, but it really works.
It really works.
It works. And I thought I was crazy because my daughter, she would come in the restaurant like, Mom, what are you talking to? And I'm like, I'm talking to myself. This is what you're probably going to be doing when you're my age. So she's starting to also, my daughter, she's 5 years old, and she's starting to pick up habits that I do, which I love. I love to see her picking up those habits, because she see that I'm pouring the positivity inside of me, and she's getting that, and she's taking that to school and taking that to, you know, her other family. So it's amazing. It's amazing how much words can really make a difference and how it can set the tone for the day.
And like you said, it retrains your brain.
It does. Yes.
Yeah. It does. Yes. Oh, fantastic. So it sounds like these routines really helped you get through a difficult time, and now they're part of who you are and mm-hmm. who your daughter is becoming.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's really yes. neat.
Honestly, me looking back in the beginning of the year to now, it's like a drastic change. And it's just, sometimes I just look back and be like, wow, Like, I can't believe this is where I am now. Like, I know we're supposed to grow. This is, you know, supposed to happen as you age. But wow, to really live in that moment, be present and to reflect, it really just, it changes my perspective of adulthood. You know how people say, you know, adulthood isn't easy. Yeah, it's not easy, but it can be if all you do is, you know, your self-care, doing the things you love to do more often, it can be easier. But I feel like a lot of times we do make our lives harder than what it can be. And I feel like that's what I used to do. I used to make my life harder than it can be. And since I changed that trajectory, everything just has been flowing in a way for me that's like, that I'm just so grateful for. I'm very grateful.
Gosh, Nice. That's really powerful. When you think back to a year ago, I mean, you talk about how we make our lives harder than they need to be. I think about how we oftentimes, we don't recognize the difference between pain and suffering. And, you know, that pain is that one time or that, you know, incident that happens, but the suffering is what we do to ourselves to perpetuate the pain. And, you know, that sometimes our attitudes can make us continue to suffer, or our perspective. And so I think that's kind of what you're saying.
Yes. And also being okay with removing yourself from people who doesn't no longer serve a purpose in your life. For the longest, I used to be a people pleaser. Or I don't know, maybe a people pleaser, or just, I don't know. I don't think I was a people pleaser, but I'm just a kind person. I'm very nurturing. I'm very caring. I mean, I do have those good traits. But I just feel like now it's about my peace, and not saying that I don't care about anybody else's peace, but my peace comes first. And when my peace is being disturbed, I either remove myself or I have to remove that person out of my life. That's also something I've learned this year, being okay with removing people, because people are temporary, unfortunately, but it's the truth. And it can hurt, but it's okay, because we can just get through it. Time heals all. It really does heal. And everybody's journey is different. Everybody's time frame is different. I try not to look at other people's journey for healing, because healing looks different from everybody. And it's really just all about how you deal with your healing journey as well. So, yeah.
And what's been most helpful for you, do you think, in your journey, Shanice?
I think what keeps me going are my self-care routine, really doing those things every day. I mean, it really, like, not saying every day is going to be a good day, because I mean, that's just impossible. Life happens, things happen. Like my uncle passing away unexpectedly, that's life happens. So still just being able to grieve and still do the things that you love to do. And really just telling myself, just talking those affirmations and doing the yoga and doing all those things really do help. It makes a big difference. It really does.
Thank you so much. You have so much wisdom to share. I want to kind of wrap things up. I wonder if you have an affirmation that is really resonating with you right now these days.
Ooh, okay. Now I'm going to pick up my phone and grab one. I have a lot, but for right now, let's see. Okay, so this one kind of aligns with my personal life and also with my work. So sometimes we think that healing means isolation, but most times healing looks like community. And that is really what it is. You cannot get through your healing alone. Rather, that's talking to a therapist, a trusted person, a coworker. We need a community in order to heal, but that don't mean you have to isolate and think you have to do everything on your own. Because I also was like that. I felt like I had to isolate and not be able to talk to someone about, you know, how I'm feeling. When honestly, that's not the truth. We need one another. We need a community. We need someone to talk to. So just a quick message, a quick reminder, do not feel like you need to be alone in your healing journey. There are people that's there to talk to vent to. There's always someone. So I think being more about our mental health, I feel like that's something that we need to just really talk about more often. Because a lot of what I see as being a community health worker, a lot of times people really don't even need like the resources. Sometimes people just need a listening ear. Sometimes people just need to be heard. Sometimes people don't always want to be saved. They just want you to listen. So yes, it's okay to isolate, but just know that there's always somebody that's there if you need to vent to.
I love that, Shanice. I think one of my students a long time ago said that we put the community in community health worker. And that just always stuck with me because I think that is the real part that makes community health workers special is it's not always the resources, but it's that community piece. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing all this wisdom and your experience. Do you have any final words that you'd like to share?
I want to thank you again for having me on here. And also the Self-Care Society group is truly amazing to be a part of this group. Like I said, it's truly just impacting my life for the better. And just getting those weekly sessions, if I'm having a bad day, it can turn my day into a good day. That's how I look at the self-care group. So I appreciate you so much.
Oh, thank you, Shanice. I'm so glad to hear that. And I'm so glad to hear that it's made a difference for you. I look forward to hearing more about your journey and about your future, because I think getting a master's in social work is a really neat direction for you to take. And you have so much to share with folks.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thanks for listening. Once again, my guest is Shanice Melvin, a community health worker with Celebrate One in Ohio. Join us next time for the Self-Care Society. And we appreciate you joining us today and spending this time. Remember that self-care is not selfish. It's caring for ourselves. So have a great week and we'll see you next time. Thanks, Shanice.
Thank you.
That concludes this week's episode. And remember, it's not selfish, it's self-care.